Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Double or Nothing, A Bedlam Butcher's MC Romance by Ruby Dixon. Narrated by Holly Jackson. Chapter 1. Shy. I wipe my sweaty palms over my skirt as the man on the opposite side of the desk smiles at me. He glances at my resume, then at me again.
Your resume is very professional.
Thank you. It should be. I've been working on it for a week now, and Lucky's proofed it for me twice. It needs to be utterly stellar, and I cross my fingers that he's impressed enough to not notice that it's a bit light on content. He glances down the page.
I see your last job was at the Taco Shack, and you worked there for 2 years. Can I ask why you left?
My brother got caught double-dealing on his club and wanted to sell me to a meth dealer, so I had to get protection. Personal conflict.
I see.
Mr. Green skims my resume again.
Miss Hamilton, while you seem very eager, I'm not sure if you have the proper credentials for accounts payable. It looks like your prior jobs have all been in the fast food industry.
My heart sinks. He's not wrong. I don't have any office experience that I can put down on paper, other than Lucky showing me how to work spreadsheets and tallying receipts from Muscle and Beast the last few weeks. I don't have anything that an employer will want. I know, I say. I'm a real hard worker, though, and I know my way around a spreadsheet. I promise. Give me a test. My stutter's going a mile a minute due to my nervousness. I hate that. Please? Great. Now I sound like Roger Rabbit from that old movie. He adjusts his glasses and frowns, and I know what's going to come out of his mouth next. I'm sorry, but we want someone with experience. I've heard it several times already in the last week. It doesn't matter that the job I'm applying for is entry-level clerking. It doesn't matter that the pay is slightly better than minimum wage and the benefits are shit. Nobody wants you for an office job if you don't have office job experience. How do you get an office job? Have office job experience. It's the world's most unfair catch-22. But I don't want to work fast food anymore. I've been doing the receipts for Muscle and Beast for the past few weeks, but there's not enough work and I feel bad for mooching off them. I want my own job, not one they've made for me because their girlfriend is bored. Just before he's about to reject me, there's a knock at the door. Mr. Green looks up from my resume.
Come in.
The door opens, and a guy stands there in a recognizable leather vest covered in patches. He's clearly a biker. He's wearing jeans, has long, shaggy hair, and is probably a few years older than me. He gives me an interested look, and then turns to the man on the other side of the desk.
You got a visitor, Dad. I'm in a meeting.
He gestures at me. The biker grins down at me, which makes me prickle a little uncomfortably. I hate being the focus of attention.
I know. I didn't want to interrupt, but there's something about canceled orders, and I thought you'd want to know.
Mr. Green groans and gets up from his desk.
I'll be just a minute,
he tells me. Then he rushes out as his son presses himself against the door. I clutch my purse and stare straight ahead, hoping that the biker guy will take the hint and go away too.
You interviewing?
He asks. I nod. I have to be polite to him because his dad is, hopefully, my boss. I look over at his jacket, but don't recognize the patches. Nice cut, I say. What's your club? I really, really hope it's not the 88, because if it is, I'm going to have to walk out right now. White supremacists and general assholes, I avoid anything the 88 might possibly touch.
Hard 9,
he says, I nod, a little relieved to hear that. My boyfriends ride with the Bedlam Butchers. I'm hoping that the mention of a boyfriend will make him go away. Instead, his eyes gleam.
Butchers, huh? They double up, don't they?
I look at him warily and nod. That means two big men protecting me, and I'm not ashamed of it. But I don't like the speculative look in this man's eyes.
Who are your guys? Maybe I know them. I've met with the Butchers from time to time.
Muscle and Beast. I hate that I stutter. I'm proud of my guys. The stutter always makes me feel like a timid chicken. He nods thoughtfully.
They're good guys.
I brighten a bit at that. Thank you.
Lucky to have you.
I say nothing. He lifts his chin at me.
I'll tell Dad to head back in once he's done with business. Shouldn't take more than 10 minutes.
I nod and turn back ahead. The door closes behind me and I breathe a sigh of relief. There's nothing but silence now, and the low hum of machinery in the background. The place is a metal shop with an office in front. I applied here because I was hoping they'd be more forgiving of a lax resume, but it doesn't sound like it's the case. I quell my disappointment and check my phone absently. Several minutes later, the door opens again.
Thank you for being so patient, Miss Hamilton.
Of course.
While I was gone, I was thinking about your situation,
he says, moving to the other side of his desk.
Since it's an entry-level position, I'm inclined to give you a trial period to see if you can learn quickly.
My eyes widen.
But you might be required to work after hours and potentially on weekends.
The look he gives me is stern.
Is that acceptable?
Oh, absolutely, I breathe. Thank you so much.
Now,
he says, picking up his pen.
We won't be able to pay you as much as someone with experience, but we are also going to look at this as on-the-job training, and I think that will play a factor in your wages.
I'm only listening halfway. I'm giddy with excitement. I have a job. A real job. An office job. Won't Beast and Muscle be proud? I can hardly wait to tell them. I can't stop smiling. Even after Mr. Green tells me he's going to pay me minimum wage, I'm employed.
Beast. I straighten my tie and try not to rip the damn thing off my throat. At my side, Muscle fidgets, looking equally out of place. I can't believe you agreed to this, he tells me. Such a fucking pussy move. You don't want to do this, feel free to stay home, I tell him. Fuck that. He straightens his dark jacket. If she wants to celebrate, we'll celebrate. Good call. I probably would have made his ass dress up just to please Shy. Because she doesn't ask for much, when she does ask for something, it's my duty to make sure she gets it. And tonight, she wants a date. A fancy dinner celebration because she has something to share with us. Her happy texts have been peppering my phone all afternoon, and it's clear she's excited. Seeing her bubbling with enthusiasm instead of scared and frightened is one of the things I love best about being with Shy. That she feels safe and secure with me and Muscle, despite who we are, well, it fucking pleases me like no tomorrow. I have a dominant streak. It's not something I talk about because it'd probably freak Muscle out. But the dominant in me enjoys running the show. Muscle doesn't realize it, but I usually top both him and Shy. Her from up close and him from afar. He thinks I'm just bossy in the bedroom and like to watch. I do. But I also like it when he obeys my instructions. Muscle may be the mouth of this relationship, but I'm the one pulling the strings. It works out well for all three of us. Shy likes for us to be in charge, Muscle thinks he's in charge, and I know I'm in charge. Thing is, I'm protective of Muscle too. Not in a sexual way, but he's my partner and my best buddy, and I've got his back. Protectiveness is just something I do. Maybe it falls back to the years I spent in prison. I went there to protect my club. While there, I protected some of the smaller, weaker guys from some of the bigger prison bullies. Now that I'm out, I'm still protecting those I love best. We climb on our bikes and head to the meat locker. For some reason, Shai wanted to meet us at the gym. It's a short drive outside of the city, and we park our bikes up front. There's 6 other bikes parked and a few cages. Muscle makes an unhappy noise and adjusts his jacket again. Shut up, I tell him. Like a fucking monkey in a costume. Whatever, you look good. It's me that looks ridiculous. With my big ugly mug and my longer hair, I don't look like I belong in a suit. I still see myself in a prison jumpsuit and wonder what I did that made me lucky enough to get the family I have now. Like I knew he would, Muscle takes the compliment with a cocky shrug of his shoulders, but he stops complaining. He even ignores the catcalls the other butchers in the gym make. In the ring, Epic and Locke are sparring, though Epic, recently patched and still reckless as hell, makes a few kissy faces that earn him a middle finger salute. Shy girl here, Muscle asks. Epic slams his boxing gloves together. Ask Lucky. She and Kitty have been hiding in the back painting their nails and shit. Lucky's gonna kick your ass if she hears you say that, Locke drawls. My bad, Epic says, and bounces around in the ring like a puppy. She spar? She does, and she's dirty about it, Locke says, and swings at Epic's grinning face. I grunt and nod at the back offices, and Muscle heads there with me. Lucky has a back office now, though she prefers to sit out on the floor and work at one of the desks in the back of the gym. I secretly think she just likes watching Solo when he works out. She's lusting after her partner hard. It's a good thing they're together, I suppose, because that would make it plenty fucking awkward for anyone else. Muscle knocks on Lucky's office door and it opens. Except it's not Lucky inside, but our Shy girl. And she's fucking stunning. She's wearing a red halter dress that ties behind her neck, curving her small breasts into tight, high cleavage. The skirt nips in at her waist and flares out, and she's wearing tiny, strappy little sandals that make her a little taller and that much more dainty. Her flat, pale blonde hair isn't tucked behind her ears like usual. Instead, it's clipped back off one side of her face and curled into a riot of waves. Her lips are plump and red, and her eyes are lined and look incredibly blue. Well, god damn, Muscle says in a pleased voice. I don't say anything, but I'm thinking it too. God damn, she cleans up real pretty. She smiles bashfully and gives a little twirl in the dress.
You like? Lucky helped me.
She peeks over her shoulder where Lucky's putting away a bunch of girly cosmetic shit. You look sexy as fuck, Muscle says, and takes her hand to pull her forward. She grins at him and then looks at me, hoping for more compliments. Mouthwatering, I agree. Her blush deepens.
I just figured we could go out on a real date, you know? We haven't had one.
Hell yes, Muscle says, tucking her hand into his arm. Just as long as someone gets laid at the end of this date. She chuckles and then offers her other arm to me. And again, I feel like the big lummox next to her smaller form. But this is about her, not me. So I offer her an elbow. And off we go to dinner. Shy rides with Muscle, a helmet crushing her curls, and she spends a good minute fluffing them once we get to the parking lot of the restaurant. It's a fancy steakhouse out in the middle of nowhere, and judging from the looks of things, isn't that busy. While she prepares herself, I go in to talk to the hostess. She gives me a nervous smile. Probably the neck tattoo's freaking her out. I slide $200 bills down on the counter. Think you can tell people the patio's closed for a private party tonight? She looks around at the half-empty restaurant, puts her hand over the money, and slides it into her pocket.
I'll make sure it's noted on the charts,
she tells me.
How many people are in your party tonight, sir?
3, I tell her. 1 table. There's a little confused frown on her face as she picks up the menus, but she hides it when Muscle and Shy come in.
Of course. Let me show you to your table.
The patio area is a little nook off the side of the building, with a stone wall on one side and a line of windows into the dining room. The hostess seats us at the far end of the patio, which suits me just fine. It's private, and private means an opportunity to play. I go to pull out Shy's chair for her, earning a pleased smile from her and a roll of eyes from Muscle. Shy sits down and her hands go to the long white tablecloth covering the table.
This is nice.
It is. It also gives me ideas. I'm full of ideas tonight, it seems. We're going to get wine tonight, I tell her, as a treat for you. Her face glows with happiness.
This is such fun. Thank you both so much. I wanted the experience of dating you both, you know? The whole experience.
I lift her hand and kiss her knuckles, then go sit in my seat. She's going to definitely get an experience tonight. This is her date, but I'm in charge of the entertainment, so to speak. I sit down across from her, my chair equidistant from both hers and Muscle's. If you want the full experience of dating us, you're going to have to let me lead, I say. It's a test to see if she's in a playful mood or not. She bites her lip and looks so damn pretty that my cock gets hard at the sight.
Of course.
The waiter's heading over, so I lean in. I'll order wine for you. Go in the bathroom, take off your panties, and bring them back to me. Her eyes widen in shock. Muscle just grins, and I manage to keep my expression deadpan as the waiter arrives, introducing himself and discussing the wine list for the evening. Muscle pretends to be very interested in wine while Shy sits in her chair, her eyes wide. Her nipples are hard under her dress, though, a sign she's aroused by my command. I arch an eyebrow at her since she's not moving. Well? Shy blushes.
Excuse me,
she says, getting up from the table. The waiter helps her with her chair and then goes back to extolling the virtues of his favorite red as Muscle just grins and grins. I eventually pick a wine and the waiter goes away. Muscle looks at me. Gonna be one of those nights, huh? Yup, I say. Got a problem with it? Hell no. Sounds like fun to me. And that's why I'm the one in charge. Because it's fun for all of us when I am. She returns to the table a few minutes later, her face crimson. Her nipples are still pressing against the fabric of her dress, and they look like delicious little pricks of excitement to me. She sits down and squirms in her seat a little, and then leans forward, handing something off to me. Her panties. They're a tiny scrap of black fabric, and damp. I tuck them into my pocket as the waiter comes over with a bottle of wine and proceeds to tell us all about it. He pours three glasses for us and then suggests appetizers. Salad for me, I say. Nothing for these two. Everyone gives me a puzzled look, including the waiter. Very well, the server says after a moment. Would you like it before your meal or with it? With it's fine, I say, and I order for all three of us again. Steaks, medium rare for myself and Muscle. Salmon and asparagus for Shy, because she loves fish but won't order something pricey for herself. Then the waiter takes our menus and disappears. Muscle gives me a disgruntled look. He's gonna think I'm your goddamn boyfriend. I'll make it up to you. God damn it, don't say shit like that, he retorts, then rubs a hand on the back of his neck. Now it really sounds like you're my boyfriend. Shy giggles into her wine glass and then takes a sip.
So I guess you're paying, Beast?
I am, I agree. Dinner's on me. Well, shit. Then I should have ordered something expensive, Muscle says with a laugh. No appetizers at all? I nod at Shy. She's our appetizer. She freezes mid-sip of her wine and then takes a look around to see if anyone else heard. The blush returns to her cheeks.
What do you mean?
I mean, I want you to touch yourself. My cock gets hard at the thought. Just reach under your skirt and start teasing yourself. I nod at Muscle. He wants to see. I do too, but it's all part of my control game, which gets me off almost as much as the actual sex. Her mouth opens. Then she wets her lips with her small pink tongue, and I feel another surge of lust. For a moment, I wonder if she's going to do what I want her to. If I've pushed her too far, and she's not interested in our games. But her hands slide under the table. She glances around again.
What if someone sees?
No one will see, I tell her. I'm calm, collected, and in control. At least my voice is. The eager side of me is dying to take my cock out and work myself in my hand at the thought of her sitting at this restaurant and touching herself, all because I told her to.
You make all your dates do this?
She asks breathlessly. I take a sip of my wine. Only the ones I'm interested in keeping.
Chapter 2. Shy. It seems like tonight we're going to take naughty to a new extreme. The sane, practical part of me says I should put my foot down. But the rest of me? The rest of me is reaching under my skirt and touching the wet folds between my legs. There's no question that I'm turned on by Beast's quiet demands. No question that I'm aroused by the thought of stroking myself to an orgasm right here in front of them while others dine nearby completely unaware. I glance around once more, but Beast's attention is focused solely on me. It's like a dare. And since it's coming from someone I completely and utterly trust, I go for it. I start to rub my pussy right there in the restaurant. My skirt is bunched up around my hips, and the white tablecloth is the only thing that's stopping me from giving a full frontal show. And for some reason, I keep touching myself. My fingers graze my clit, and my breath catches.
Fuck, she's getting into it,
Muscle says, and throws back his wine.
No more for you,
Beast says.
You're driving. Right,
Muscle says. But his intense gaze is on me. He can't see what I'm doing, but he's completely attuned to my body. Both of them are. When my breath hitches again, Muscle's chin lifts as if he's waiting for something. I bite my lip, and I could swear both of them nearly come out of their chairs. And then this becomes even more fun and naughty. Because it's not just about me touching myself, but it's about performance, too. I let a soft whimper escape my throat, and Muscle groans in response, then runs a hand down his face.
Jesus, that is hot.
But Beast's dark eyes are just watching me intently.
Are you using your fingers, Shy?
On my clit, I breathe. I want to reach up and play with my nipples, but someone would definitely notice that, and I'm not ready to be that much of a public tease.
Slide one inside yourself,
Beast tells me. This time, I can't suppress my moan. He wants me to finger fuck myself right here? Right now? I do as he commands, though, and slide one finger deep inside me. My touch makes a wet sound that seems over loud on the quiet patio. It makes my face turn bright red again.
Is everything all right?
The waiter asks, hurrying over. I freeze, a finger deep inside me, skirts rucked up in my lap. I'm pushed in far enough that he can't see, but I can't do this while he's here. Beast gives the man a tolerant smile.
Well, thank you. How is the food coming along? It should be just a few more moments,
the waiter says. He reaches for Muscle's emptied wine glass.
Shall I refill this for you? Water for him,
Beast says. The waiter looks at Muscle, but he's staring intently at me. And for some reason, that makes me move my fingers again. My lips part, but no sound comes out. No one notices but Muscle, though. His nostrils flare in response. It feels as if the world has come down to small gestures. The tip of a tongue flicking against dry lips. The twitch of a hand on the table. Fingers tightening on the stem of a wine glass. All of these become incredibly noticeable when there's nothing but silence at the dinner table. And when my arm muscles clench as I slide my fingers deep as the waiter leaves, both beast and muscle notice.
"So why are we celebrating?"
Muscle asks. He leans forward, trying not to look overeager as my hands move again. I can't think with my fingers pushed all the way up inside me. I slide them free and give a small sigh because my body needs more than I'm giving it. "I got a job," I say breathless. "I'm going to work at Green's Custom Metalworks. Accounts payable."
"Never heard of it,"
Muscle announces. Beast shoots him a look, then smiles at me.
"Congrats, shy girl. When do you start?"
"Monday," I tell them proudly. "It's an entry-level job, but it'll get me office experience, and I won't have to mooch off you guys anymore."
"You're not mooching,"
Beast says, a frown on his hard face.
"You're with us." "And I thought you were working for us,"
Muscle adds. "Yes, but I want to contribute money, and you guys don't have enough for me to do to help you with the business. You know you don't." The few times they gave me tickets to help them with, it took them longer to show me how to log them than for Beast to enter them. "You're making work for me so I'll feel needed."
"You're always needed, shy girl,"
Muscle says, and there's a husky note in his voice that distracts me from the whole job thing. "Yes, but be happy for me too. This is a big step up for me. No more taco shack. I'm losing confidence as I argue why I want a job. I need this."
"I'm happy for you,"
Beast says. His expression is softer, as if he realizes what this means to me.
"I just want you to know that we're here for you if you need anything. And if you want to quit and just stay at home, that's good with us too." "We could go home right now,"
Muscle says, wiggling his eyebrows at me.
"Not yet,"
Beast says.
"We're dating her."
And he gives me the most wicked, sinful grin, and I have to clench my thighs together.
"So we are,"
Muscle agrees, and we all turn as the waiter comes out with food. I hastily pull my skirt down and keep my hands in my lap as the food is set before us, and it looks delicious. Each plate comes with a baked potato and a vegetable and a basket of bread. It smells wonderful, and my mouth waters at the sight of it.
"Bon appetit,"
the waiter says and hurries away. Then it's just us again. And instead of digging into the food, we watch each other. Beast is watching me, Muscle glances over at Beast, and I'm watching both men, trying to figure out what they're thinking. And I'm getting turned on, because I can tell by the look on Beast's face that it doesn't have much to do with steak.
"You stopped touching yourself,"
Beast points out. I squirm in my seat a little. The waiter was coming.
"He's gone now."
So he is. I start to pull my skirt back again when Beast takes a sip of his wine and then nudges Muscle with his elbow.
"I think you should help her along." "What? Under the table?"
A knotty gleam forms in Muscle's eyes. I gasp, my eyes going wide. "Here?" I squeak out. But Muscle's already going under the table. A moment later, he disappears completely under the tablecloth. I send a shocked look in Beast's direction a moment before hands grip my skirt and pull it up.
"You wanted the full experience," Beast teases. "You're getting it."
And then he wiggles his eyebrows at me. The jerk? "Yes, but," I begin, and then my chair is scraped forward by two strong arms. Hands press against my thighs, and then I feel a face bury into my lap. A moan rises from my lips despite myself.
"Fuck, she's wet as hell."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?